You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
To Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom.
Gentlemen, would you look at the audio software that we use? Is my waveform coming in or no?
It's coming in.
Oh, very looking nice. Good. Okay.
Very low, but it's coming.
Well, let me turn up a little bit. We're going to turn all the way up for this one, everybody. We got so many topics to talk about. I'm in a Doubletree Inn. Those are the ones with the cookies that I can't eat. In Fayetteville, North Carolina.
No one would tell on you if you just grabbed one and just had a little.
No, listen. I've never been a secret cookie man. I've never been a. I know it's not vegan, but never
yeah,
been. My
Patrick's
thing.
Conscience is vegan as well.
That's a fact. The Jiminy Cricket of on my shoulder at all times is like, nah, you should probably ask. Okay.
Think about that Doubletree employee who's got Patrick waddling up being like, excuse me, are your cookies vegan?
Yeah. Oh, like, God. No, it's got no meat in it. And they're like, no, well, actually, do you use like any kind of animal?
Let me go look at the ingredients.
Let me look at this Otis Spunkenmeyer fucking box and tell you that, yeah.
All right, let's do some sponsors real quick, shall we?
Let's go. Thank you and appreciation to Run for Cover Records.
Oh, fuck yeah, man. Got back to me, by the way. Can I say they kept me sweating for a couple days. I was like, oh, no. Then they got back to me. New self-defense soon. Oh, Bob, wow. Did you listen to what I sent it to you?
I got it. I have not given it the proper listen. I
will. Thanks, Pat.
I can see this guy. It's a real priority. He hit me on the side and guilted me.
I did. I sent him a link to the end of the year 315 split 7-inch and said, hey, send me the new self-defense family. If you're concerned about audio fidelity, remember that I heard this and said, yeah, this is good. So it was a hard guilt.
I like it.
Oh, thank you and appreciation to Convulse Records.
Oh, 100% yes.
Thank you and appreciation to Live a Lie.
Double tree to the max.
And thank you and appreciation to Closed Casket Activities.
Big cookies.
I switched it up today. Usually I do the sponsors that we're going to read at the backside of the thanks and appreciation. Today I did them in the front. So let's start by going to Convulse Records, convulserecords.com. Guys, I find myself in Denver, Colorado at a Courtyard Marriott. It's pretty nice. It's actually kind of haven't checked. They don't give you the free cookies. It's kind of like Courtyard's a mid-tier Marriott property, right? Sure. This is also me pitching because we got asked about doing a Marriott Bonvoy ad like opportunity. So we'll see. I am a Bonvoy member, so consider this your free plug. But this Courtyard Marriott kind of sucks. It's under construction. The pool looked like it was lit. It is not lit. The room's fine, though. The room's fine. But I am going to a Convulse Records show tonight. What is a Convulse Records show? Well, people who are not familiar, Convulse Records, the folks behind it really, are also responsible for booking a lot of shows in and around Denver. And by the way, I think they've helped kind of put some stuff on up in Wyoming as well. So that's sick. They're doing a Brain Tourniquet show tonight that I'm pretty excited about. And so I wanted to feature that and say, if you're unaware, go to their Instagram account, Convulse Rex Presents. Convulse, CONVULSERECSPRESENTS, Convulse Rex Presents, for shows and booking shows in Denver. Shout out. That's so cool. You can see the difference they make here. both with the records they're putting out as well as the shows they're booking. And like, it's both a trickle down and a trickle up in this way, because Pat
Denver's popping for hardcore, man.
Denver's popping for hardcore. The Drain show there was what, like 450 or 500 kids?
It was hot. I do not recall, but it was
that
hot.
Is wild. So anyways, go do that. Check out that account while you're waiting. We're going to go more in on this, but there is a pre-order for the Destiny Bond Be My Vengeance LP. It's kind of interesting band. I believe some of the versions are sold out, but you can still get the white vinyl out of 300. Please go do that. You won't be disappointed. Other new stuff we'll touch later. Yambag, Strength and Numbers, 7-inch. The Entry Exit Interview, 7-inch, which I want to get our at least a couple of us are pretty familiar with, friendly with Clayton, and talk about that a little bit more. So convulserecords.com, check it out. runforcoverrecords.com, go to that store, buy as much as you can because they need to release the new self-defense material, and Lord knows that's a heavy price to pay. But Tom, what are we talking about today that Run for Cover has coming up?
Today, we are talking about the new Fiddlehead LP, Death is Nothing to Us. The pre-order is up as of last week while you're hearing this. The record comes out at the end of August. You can go to runforcoverrecords.com and get it. There's a multitude of colors. They also printed. So this is where Fiddlehead is in 2023. This is on the website, so I'm not telling tales out of school.
Yep.
7,500, 8,000, 9,000.
It's 10,000.
10,000. Their first pressing was 10,000 records.
Yeah.
10,000 records. And they have different, you know, they do the Magic Circle vinyl subscription. So there's 100 that goes to that, which is a cool idea. Then Fiddlehead, the band, will have their own, and like Rough Trade and Revelation and Brooklyn Vegan. And then it's 6,500 neon orange. So like the standard version is a neon orange, and there's 6,500 of them. First single came out called Sullen Boy. I like it. There's a video out. It's great. I'm very excited for this record. I love the last two, and I'm stoked to hear the this one.
The finale of this trilogy. So we're excited. Death is Nothing to Us. For some reason, it has a real jock vibe to me. Like, it's nothing to me. It's nothing to... Oh, you know what it is? Oh! Are you both familiar with the television program, my favorite TV show, and for many years running now, Inside the NBA on TNT?
Yeah,
I am familiar.
With Charles Barkley, Kenny the Jet Smith, Ernie Johnson, and Shaquille O'Neal.
Yes.
Have you seen, this is classic, this is like peak television, peak entertainment to me, that I think if you haven't seen this, it's you're really missing out. The one chip, the hot chip challenge, right? You familiar with this?
Oh, yeah. Very, very familiar.
Are you familiar with the Shaquille O'Neal doing it?
No. Did he vomit in a parking lot in Omaha like my bandmates?
No. He did it live on the show, and I'll get to why it connects to this. But he does it live on the show, and he's like, he's got that great monotone voice that's like as
very
deep,
low.
A deep, like... By the way, yeah, like he's dared to do it, and he's like, this is nothing to me. This is nothing to me. That's what connects it to this Fiddlehead record. So to me, this Fiddlehead record is Shaquille O'Neal going, death is nothing to us. It's nothing. It's nothing. He's like, do you know who I am? You know what my frat? Fasu. He's part of the Michael Jordan, among others, like, they all have this brand, not Nexium, but they have this brand that's for this like athlete frat. And he's like shouting that out as he's got the chip in his mouth, he's chewing. And then you see his face start changing. He's like, ooh, ah, I'm not crying. No. And he starts reacting, and he's like, it's, if you haven't seen it, Shaquille O'Neal, okay. One chip challenge. It's a must watch. It's unbelievable. And go order the Fiddlehead record, I guess, from Run for Cover. Runforcoverrecords.com. Check it out. Guys, how we doing? How we feeling?
Million bucks. It's a day off. Just played like a whatever the fuck sound stage is. Is that a 1,000 cap?
Yes. Yeah,
And it was absolutely nuts. I know that I talked at length about Drain on the last podcast, but it might happen again. I feel like, to continue the basketball shit, I feel like Pippen.
Mm.
Are you talking shit about like Michael Jordan being not the best player? And he's like, yeah, we weren't even that good.
He's saying he's saying he's 96 Pippen. Like he's yes. Pippen with the holding the shoe up, saying, "Come back,
here's
Michael."
Some music from your library.
You know, actually. Okay. Consider me John Starks then. You know what I mean? I'm just, I feel like I'm very good support, but I'm feeding the ball.
So you're John Paxton.
I'm John Paxton.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right.
Actually, can you name one of the, can you name a player that wears the glasses?
Horace Grant.
Horace Grant. But was Horace Grant?
Are the best? His brother Harvey Grant, who played for the Bullets, or
what I'm trying to say is I'm the second best player on the
Jeremy Grant, who's currently I'm the, player. Or?
I'm the second best player on a team that is doing everything in my power to put the best player in the best possible light.
True. So that would be interesting. Yeah.
So who's that?
That would be Pippen. Horace Grant was not. He was a good power forward.
He was number three. He was number three on the first three championships. You are a Pippen. Shout out to Drain. It's made me think there was a time early, years, many eons ago, when we talked about how there almost seemed like there was a decided big three in hardcore of Turnstile, Power Trip, and Code Orange. Honestly, depending on your predilection, you could arrange those at any three by your choice as far as who was bigger. They were all, you know, give or take similar sizes, Incendiary being right outside of that conversation as a proper fourth. Drain's in that conversation to me right now. If we were to make a top three, almost feels unfair to keep Turnstile there, but
I think it's like soccer. They get relegated to like the next level. I think them and Knocked Loose are no longer in the conversation because they can't be.
That's right. That's
they're
right.
They're in they're in like, you know, they've moved up to like, you know, whatever, you know, like whatever Man
Foo Fighters. Yeah. Foo Fighters fucking Coldplay level or whatever. So anyways, Drain is certainly in the conversation for the biggest hardcore band right now, which is amazing and cool. I love this tour. I got to figure out where I can come see you guys. I was sad not to be there on Brooklyn. Tom, you got a chance to go. You guys got a chance to chill. Any good fit for air stories that you should tell about the gig?
Fit for air is a whole nother story. I saw Drug Church twice in like a 4-hour period. They were great both times. Patty's voice held up for the second one. I was a little worried for him because I know how hard it is for anybody to sing twice in a night. But, you know, homeboy killed it. Shows were great. Both shows were great. Soul Blind was awesome. It was really cool to see them back.
Shout out Soul Blind.
Yeah. Gel was great. Both shows. Magnitude was dope. Like watching that, I was like, oh man, like I was like a kid and I came to this. Like,
yes,
this is like a game changer for people because it's like every band from, you know, Combust opening the show to Gel to Magnitude to Drug Church to every single band got a reaction. That was not a thing before.
No, I wanted to talk a little bit about that, and I'll keep it broad so it's a subject and not just me talking about a tour I'm on. But it is really, really, really encouraging to see kids come to a bigger show because I think I said this in a group chat with you guys. I used to think Saratoga Winners was the biggest venue on the planet, right?
Right, right.
Because I was going there.
Garden. It was enormous, yeah.
Yeah, I was going there when I was 16 or whatever, and it was like a barn, you know what I mean? So, right. So I thought it was so big. And now when I talk to people, they go, maybe it was 800, maybe it was 1,000, whatever. But to me, it was so big. And then to realize that a number of the shows that we played on this tour were sellout at slightly bigger numbers, it got me thinking about, that's fascinating. I just played one of those big shows that some 16-year-old, you know, and hardcore is not as young anymore. So like, let's say some 20-year-old is really imprinting on as, I saw that was a big show. And that's totally fascinating to me because, you know, I don't mean this in any kind of humble way at all. I don't mean it in any kind of self-effacing, like, ooh, I'm just a cute little guy sort of way. But I didn't think I'd, you know, the type of music that I really enjoy playing, I didn't think was big room music. Right. So it's been a fun experience, and to just be able to be part of what Drain has going on. The show last night, I honestly used Hatebreed as a comparison before. Turnstile should be in my mind because Drug Church went out with them on
probably at this level,
Time and Space, right?
Yes, but you did.
But when we went out with them, both bands were support. So we didn't go out with Turnstile, unless my memory is failing me.
No, you went out with Story So Far, Turnstile.
Yeah, right. So we didn't get to see them necessarily on that like explosive headliner sort of thing, you know? And to see, so for me, watching this happen for Drain, like the show yesterday was, I mean, it was borderline, and I don't mean this literally, don't bring in litigation on anybody. It was borderline irresponsible. It was a fucking insane situation, and it's going to make a real impression. I think Drain did everything right with this tour because it sells the next tour without saying a word. And I think it's such a, they've just done an excellent move here.
And it sells the next show.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? It's gathering momentum.
Yes.
There was multiple people posting, and everybody, I don't think this is good. I don't want you hurt at my shows at all, but multiple people posting relatively serious injuries from last night's show. And I don't think that'll discourage a single human being. It'll encourage four more. You know what I mean? Because they just know it's a wild situation that they're walking into. And everybody, so you understand, it's not like they were kicked in the head with a boot. It's just a wild scene. And there is the potential for injury. Always bear that in mind. I claim no legal liability. Tom, I'm going to need you to draft something up for me.
He needs his disclaimer. He needs some boiling plate text here.
I think we'll just ask the guy from the Clay People that used to work the door at Huey 2.
Such a deep cut.
If you can get that form together that everyone used to have to sign to get into the QE2 to come see Indecision One King Down at the QE2. Bob, were you around for that?
No, I never went up to shows there that early. So that's what
you literally had to sign a waiver.
I want some Albany old head who has this to send a picture of it to us. Somebody has.
I mean, it's not
this.
Worth the paper printed on. If we're being honest, like,
yeah,
it would not.
Of course not.
Because it wasn't even. I don't think it was like not everyone signed an individual like. It was almost a sign-in sheet.
Yes, much more like one, yes.
It wasn't like, you know, I, Patrick Kinlan, absolve, you know, fucking blah, blah, blah. It was like you were just signing in.
Yes.
And like, yeah. I mean, like, did you put your real name? Do you put fucking Bugs Bunny? Who the hell's going to know? They weren't checking
your ID. People did. But I just want to say the action is real. And it's just true insanity. Here's a quick question for you, fellas. Mm. Do you like the house lights on thing that Drain does? Yes or no?
No.
I don't mind for them.
I don't mind some lights. I don't want full lights. It feels like when they turn the lights on in the movie theater after the show. You know what I mean? It's like all of a sudden I start looking around for people with brooms like coming in to sweep up. I think you can do a brighter light thing. I wonder, and I mean, I guess you could ask. I'm assuming it's a considered decision. So I'm not against it because I actually think probably it's a good way for people to get less hurt, you know, or know what's going on around them. But I wonder if there's a way to do it more thematically. Like would this be the biggest problem with a Fiddlehead Drain tour? Because Fiddlehead is very considered in the way they use light for their live shows. So if anybody's ever witnessed this, train your eyes on Pat Flynn looking at the lights before Fiddlehead plays. He's very conscious and wants to know what's going on with them. It's very funny.
Okay, gentlemen.
Well, wait. Tom, is there anything else going on right now?
You know what? This past week has been super quiet and hardcore. Like, nothing on the internet. Nothing's happening. No talks in back rooms. No chats. Nobody, and no one had an opinion on anything. So it's like kind of hard to really. There's gonna be a struggle to get through this podcast because there was literally nothing that happened in hardcore in the last 7 days that we could really kind of talk about. So you know,
yeah, we could just kind of pull the plug early. I think. So
yeah,
I
mean, we'll do what we can. But yeah, it's been quiet.
Hey, yeah, everybody. Let's put it like this. We'll talk on this eventually. Tom and I, for people that don't know what we're talking about a thing that happened. And if it seems crazy that
if you don't know what we're talking about now, don't worry, because honestly, yeah, God bless you. It's not fun. It's as an outsider.
Let's move on. Yeah.
But suffice to say, Tom and I would be screaming at each other.
You know, one thing that I will talk about that's akin to this is that there's a world that exists that is of hardcore, that is what we started this podcast with, which is going to these drain shows. If it's coming near you, go check it out. I'm really excited to go to a show tonight. That has nothing to do with any internet hardcore conversation. And I largely feel like that's where this conversation exists. And when there's that level of disconnect or conversation from the internet bleeds into real life as opposed to real life bleeding into the internet, I think something's askew.
I agree. I am also, I think I probably speak for the three of us when I say it's a touch frustrating that we would like to talk on things just as neutral, not neutral. We'd like to talk on things that are just factual and have our own opinions. Mm-hmm. But as it happens, we have a big enough platform that things that we say can make a situation worse. And that's explicitly not what we're trying to do. So we'll talk on things maybe sometime when it makes sense.
Yeah. Tom, I have some questions for you specifically.
For me specifically?
For you.
I find that hard to believe, but all right, let's do it.
Do you think hardcore's thriving right now?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. I think it's as good as it's been in a very long time.
Can you think of a time where it was comparably in a great place?
Well, I mean, there's always been times. Like, I feel like this is a little bit more sustained and a little bit more spread out than, you know, I mean, like the Trapped Under Ice, Blacklisted, Have Heart Years or whatever that era was. It was pretty popular.
Like late aughts, sure.
Late aughts. Early aughts, the American Nightmare, you know, the Bridge Nine Trustkill years.
Mm-hmm.
Popping.
Yeah.
Before that, mid to late 90s. And then before that was probably like late 80s.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but like not to the, like, I feel like this is sustained and it's, there's not a few, I mean, there are a few bands at the very, very tippity top, but like,
yeah.
But there's still a lot of bands that are still drawing like 500 kids places. Like, not everything's a fucking drain drug church tour.
No.
But there's a lot of stuff that's still killing it on a local and, you know, regional level that we haven't seen in a very long time.
No, and your last point there is the most cogent to me and like just like vibrant. And let me frame it a different way. I think that there's this weird, healthy middle class of bands, and it's a funny thing to say. I'm not trying to class structure our hardcore scene, but there's this healthy group of bands who I think if they went and played any town USA, 50 to 70 kids are going to come check it out. Minimally, yo, that's and it's minimally. I'm talking about like the remotest outpost for a band who hasn't really toured, but has a little bit of name exposure. I think you could still say like any number. And then there's bands who it's like, hey, I think significantly stronger than that. You know,
right? The mid majors.
I think there's exactly right. I think there's no less than a dozen, man, maybe more bands who can draw 150 kids basically anywhere they play right now who are in hardcore or around hardcore. And I want to give a shout out and credit to Band Like Turnstile, Band Like Drug Church, Band Like Drain, who have been doing these tours where they bring some of these bands out with them. This Drain tour was not just something that fell together. Seems very considered, seems very thoughtful. And, you know, we go in these waves where we're kind of shouting the praises, but I think it's really deserved. Restraining Orders jumping on this Drain Drug Church tour tomorrow, I believe. And Gum is jumping on shortly thereafter. MS Paint did a huge group of these dates. All these bands, it's like, yo, they're getting exposed to how many people at these shows? Oh, shit. Gel is doing these things. Gel's going to be a band who's going to be able to pay that forward very soon. We're seeing these bands pay it forward. I don't mean that in any hokey way. I mean it in being a, hey, not only do we love touring, not only are we seeing a little bit of success, we're going to say, cool, cool, here's the ladder, and hand it to the next two, three, four bands, have them come on tour. And that is the sustaining, you know, that's the sustenance. That's the kind of thing that can make hardcore as this like bright, thriving thing right now in the moment continue for the next 5 to 10 years in a really serious, fun, cool way. You know, Patrick, where are you at? Do you see it like that?
Yeah, I mean, as I think I said last time, my only expectation is that when things are as popular as they are right now, there's going to be a rebuttal, and that rebuttal is going to take us down a different path. Mm. Hopefully things stay like, look, if it's not my band getting opportunities, I hope it's somebody else's band getting opportunities. And if that's in a different sound, because that's where the zeitgeist takes us, this isn't me being, you know, this isn't false humility or whatever. Good for them. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, good for them. If right now we're in a very approachable place in hardcore, right? Where it's highly inclusive. I'm gonna say on this Drain tour, I've seen more different types of people in places that I hadn't previously. And I think that that's good. Like, we've talked before about how hardcore gets this rep as being like, you know, just white guys of a certain age. And we've been very honest about, yeah, that in certain places that is undeniably true. And in other places, it's much less true. Right. And on this tour, I'm seeing literally every type of face. So
love it.
I think it's a very cool, very cool moment. But look, I'm not going to use any names, but a man that many of us listening to this would know was at the show the other day, and I asked him what he thought about it, and he just candidly said, "I just wanted somebody to get hurt." Wow. And I said, "Well, sounds really maladjusted." And he said, "Listen, man, you know what it is." And like, we just looked at each other's eyes, and I do know what it is. You know what I mean? Like, I understand. Like, to him, hardcore is maybe not its best, but most built for him when it is a dangerous place full of really fringe characters.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. No, and I mean,
this is dangerous in a different way.
Yeah, this is dangerous in a different way. That's true. But here's the deal. For me, and I'll allow you guys to talk in a second. Is there anything wrong with his perspective?
No.
It's simply to say that right now I'm benefiting from the moment. My only concern about the more violent stuff is that stuff becomes exclusive potentially in a negative way. By virtue of the fact that you are weeding out a lot of the people that just frankly just can't take a punch. And I don't mean that in like a tough guy way. I mean, like, you shouldn't have to take a punch to enjoy something. So I'm just saying I worry that we might lose some of the faces that I'm seeing right now if we pivot to that other vibe. Right now, even though I play the friendly stuff, I really love the unfriendly stuff. So I'm good either way in a lot of regards. But it's just,
I don't think you eat the same when the unfriendly stuff is popping.
No,
not good for your business. Not good for Patty Inc.
Yeah. That's the my girlfriend potentially asking, you went out for how long, for what? You know, and then I go,
yeah, oh, cool.
Yeah. And then I have to, explain to my loving girlfriend who doesn't really have any interest in this type of music at all. I have to explain to her, sorry, babe, Beatdown is in.
Yeah, so that's it's the moment. If this movie was in 1989 of your life, she's pulling out the classifieds and circling possible full time jobs for you and saying, like, here, oh, you, Patrick, go. Get to work.
Here's a job in a plastics factory. Yeah. here's injection mold. You could be an injection molder.
You're qualified. So here's a question. I have two questions. One that just popped in my head, and then one that kind of ties back into what we were saying. This derails a little bit here, and I'll let you get in here too, Tom. Tom, speaking about non-hardcore folk, et cetera, you know, like gen pop, actual general population people.
Civilians.
Out of 100 civilians.
It's like Family Feud.
Well, just I don't have an answer for this for myself. I have to think about it. I'm asking the question real time for both of you. But Tom, start us off. Out of 100 civilians, how many of them have thrown a punch after the age of 21? At another living human, not in a sparring, not I take basketball or jiu-jitsu, like
right now with Billy Blanks, like an actual like punch.
Yeah,
and went to punch
somebody. Yeah, like punching someone in an altercation or non-training sparring setting.
I mean, I would say maybe 20. Maybe.
Wow. Okay. I'm thinking like maybe 5 out of 100. I think it's
from New York, though. People like,
I know. Well, I was thinking, yeah. Patrick, where's your answer? Out of 100 civilians.
Random selection, or guys that have picked fights with me at a gas station.
No. Out of 100 random civilians, you know, of medium range.
Yeah, I'd put it under 10.
Okay, all right, and then I really don't have an answer for this, but for the hardcore set, out of 100 folks of the core, moshers, let's call them, how many have thrown a punch as an adult?
75%.
Oh wow,
Patrick!
I've thrown a punch as an adult, and I'm like not a fucking dude that likes to fight.
You're not a
Tom, as you pointed out, it's like you know. Firstly,
Patrick, I have.
I've thrown a punch at.
You know what I mean? Like, what are we talking about? You know,
yeah,
like,
listen,
I am literally unproud of it. You know, like, what is your number, Pat? Out of 100.
Hardcore kids, I'm putting
over 21. Over 21.
Over 21 hardcore kids throwing a punch in anger, or self defense.
Sure.
I'm putting it at 15%. 15 out of 100.
So just above civilian numbers, not a shot.
No, then. He's tripling his civilian. You said
under 10%.
Right. Yeah, under 10.
So now he's saying 15% for hard, like. That's crazy.
Maybe. I don't know.
We're forgetting that the average hardcore kid, it can go his entire fucking existence without throwing a punch. I hope they do.
I don't know. You know, it's an interesting. I bet there's people who are saying 90%. I bet there's people who are saying 2%. I have no idea.
Let's get that.
Have you thrown a punch after 21?
No, the last punch I probably. Maybe.
Right, Pat, me and you aren't the dudes. Tom's not the dude. None of the three of the people on this call are the dude who's thrown a punch.
Yes, I understand.
You know what I mean?
Here's what I'm saying.
Think of the shame on a business call, a Zoom call, and it's like, you know, somebody, a professional call for you. Tom, you the same. Somebody says, hey, I'm sorry to have to do this, but I just need to survey the room. Everyone who has thrown a punch as an adult, not in a gym class, but at another human, please raise your hand. How meekishly are you raising your hand? Like, fuck me, I'm a scumbag, right?
Can I tell you?
I mean, I think sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do, you know?
I'm not agree, opposed. Yeah. Agree, but try to explain that to Gen Pop people who are just like, what? It could honestly really change the way they think of you.
I threw punches at Nazi, so I will tell my boss that tomorrow if you
true.
Want to.
Sure.
I mean, it depends on what you fought over.
Sure.
I didn't get in a fucking mosh beef.
Sure.
I got into like running these Nazis out of the show in Jacksonville. I'm throwing a punch.
Patrick's was just a mosh beef, obviously.
just a mosh beef. No, I mean, I'm sure I'm not alone in this. I've taken more punches than I've given in the last fucking 20 years. But the
amount of time that Pat's been like, yo, it's on site with so and so, do you just not see anybody?
No, here's Tom. This is the only time that I'll advocate for myself as a tough person is I have approached more people with a willingness to fight. And,
right. Yeah.
And it gone in a more adult way.
Yeah.
Confrontation as an adult is an interesting thing because there's a lot of people who are that is a big step in itself.
There's fellas that I've shaken their hand and said, "Listen, before we got to have a conversation right now," mm-hmm. and with the expectation that it would go bad, but as an adult, I have to be. I have to be dealing with a very profoundly unreasonable person. For it to go anywhere other than, hey man, you and I have a serious conversation right now. And I've done that multiple times and even the last 10, and it's gone well. I walked away from those situations with a mutual respect. I feel like sometimes I've been misrepresented afterwards, but with a mutual respect, I think. And, but I, when pushed, I have approached people with the expectation that, okay, this might go the other way. But no, I've been very lucky. And particularly we've talked about it because not everybody likes me. So I've been very lucky in that regard. Can
well,
I tell
good you? Good to you so far. What were you exactly. going to say? Go ahead. What are you going to say? I'll get back to the second thing.
Let me just tell a funny story. So before the show in Philadelphia, I'm on a Zoom meeting with one man who knows me and two men who do not. The two men who do not are one of them's reasonably powerful, and the other one is like a properly paid ass fucking powerful motherfucker. And I'm doing my best to be charming, to be affable, and also to be knowledgeable on the thing that I'm talking about. And the other two the big man arrived 2 minutes late to the meeting. In those two minutes, I'm having a conversation with the man I know and the other man I don't know about what I'm doing. Why am I doing a Zoom meeting from a van? Well, it's the only quiet place here. And then we're talking about, kind of the type of music I play, et cetera, et cetera. And we talk about how
you could turn it into van life and been like, I'm a YouTuber.
I should have.
That's probably less embarrassing than being a band.
Well, I'm explaining. Well, I'm playing a church, and it's kind of a shallow church basement. It's a shallow stage, and as a result, it's actually the better stage divers, but that kick me with some regularity. So I'm expecting some hits to my chest, neck, and face in the next hour and a half. And so we're having that conversation, and then. When we're saying our goodbyes, the big fish, he hears the guy say, have a good time, good luck with the beating. And and the big fish asks, oh, what are you talking about? And we say, oh, you arrived late, but I'm about to be kicked in my neck and face. I explain, and he goes, there's a pause. And it is literally the Simpsons, I sleep in a big bed with my wife meme, when the man goes, oh, I was going to open like a Chardonnay and be with my wife.
Well, different jokes for different folks.
It was so funny to be like, because he had good comedic timing. There was a pause and he just goes, oh, I was going to open a bottle of wine with my wife. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. You like that meme. It's a good one.
It's spot on. So anyway, go on, Bob.
Yo, so here's my question, because Pat, you said this, Tom, you actually painted the picture As we talked about these flourishments, these flourishing moments of hardcore. We're not saying that things didn't happen in the interim. You know what I mean?
No, of course.
And Patrick made the point of hardcore secularly is about cause and effect, call and response, right? There's thing A happens, so then B comes back. B happens, so then A comes back, or C comes in the room, and it's change, and you see this. Is there a space, and this is why this idea of like, one, what would be the rebuttal? What would be the response to what is going on right now? Because from my perspective, stylistically, there's so many different things that are going on, so many different threads that are being pulled, many of which are finding success in the same pockets, some in different pockets. There seems to be a really pushed down, like I'm not seeing hate, you hear it in the tone in which we talk sometimes of like, you talk about youth crew stuff or metalcore, and those were two things that didn't gel, but we're talking about it now, and the same person likes Poison the Well and Floor Punch. So what would be the rebuttal to the energy of going on right now? Because I can't even fathom it.
Would it be like the return? I mean, it never went away, but like Basement Hardcore being more vocal?
Maybe. Oh, okay. Maybe. So yeah, there's two directions it could go. It could go in a more goonish direction, or it could go in a more snobbish direction.
I mean, it's kind of goonish now.
There's a goonish thread. There's a goonish thread.
There is a goonish.
I'm not goon, like not saying it in a bad way, but there's heavy. No, like, the heavy. It's not like the only bands that are popping are like, you know, Drug Church level heavy. No, it's like there's bands like Tsunami is a hard mosh band, and they fucking
Tsunami filling bigger rooms than I am playing heavy music for sure.
And like everyone's eaten now,
right?
Yeah, and dude, Gel is a basement hardcore band that is one of the bigger hardcore bands in America.
Think about this, Tom. Triple B is putting out the Spy LP. And also has an exclusive color of the new Laid to Rest release.
Right. So, I mean, I think everybody's eaten. It's not, there's nothing lying in wait that would like take some of the shine off of what's happening, because like all genres are like, it's mixed now. You can go see Tsunami and Spy did the tour together.
I hold on, Tom. I'm with you, but this is with full respect for Tsunami, who I don't think would argue with what I'm saying. They are heavy in a tongue-in-cheek sort of way. I'm not trying to paint them as a joke band or whatever. It's just, how can I say this in a way that is acknowledges that what they're doing is valid and fun, but also highlights the fact that it's not actually goonish. Do you know what I mean? Like it's a different thing. It's heavy, there's no doubt, and it's for moshing, there's no doubt, but it's not
careful wording.
Listen, like,
no, here's the thing. You're saying it right. Tsunami has all the walks like a duck, talks like a duck, quacks like a duck, but maybe it feels like the duck is winking at us too.
Well, right? Let me say it like this. They knowingly, hey, this is for fun. 100-pounder, you're welcome up front. This is for fun. You know what I mean? Like, and I like the stuff that's resorting in broken orbitals. I like that. But it's different. It's just, we got to acknowledge that it's different.
Well, so sure. And I would say there's probably a good shot somebody could get pretty hurt at a Tsunami show.
No doubt. But
using them right now, though, in this conversation, that's why I didn't use them. Tsunami's also on Triple B. Laid to Rest, I think, does have some of the attributes that you are saying maybe that Tsunami doesn't.
Yes, that's correct.
Right, and you're not saying that in a detrimental way. You're saying it. I grew up in Albany. I kind of like that stuff for some reason, despite the fact that I spent most of my life as 120-pound soaking wet.
Yes.
So now you're a healthy 160, you know, thick boy, right?
Yeah. I'm a thick boy. But yes, that is exactly to say that there is a vibe, right? Is that fair?
Like, sure, but you're kind of – let's not use the exception – to try to undermine the rule, because what we're saying is that there is lanes for almost all this stuff. Like, okay, what are the underrepresented sounds right now in the like right now moment? We've identified the like straight up cargo shorts, hoodie, finger pointing hardcore, not having a moment. Screamo, I think there's some things burgeoning there, but it's certainly not hot like it was 13 years ago when that stuff broke big. I'm waiting to see what happens in that world. I think it's going to be interesting. That's actually a world I'm, for having such little historic interest in it, I have speculative interest in it right now. But I don't know. So sonically, I don't see what the rebuttal is other than potentially super political. Tom, you made the mention of basement stuff. Like the super ethos, that is the only thing I could see trying to come in and wedge a divide. Does that jive with how you see younger people care at all? I don't. I don't see super ethos of like hardcore 95 being something that would come in to hardcore 2024.
Right. There's no born against, you know, there's no 2023 born against the 2023 version of Sick of It All.
Right. And there's no sit down hardcore shows circa there's like no 93, Meryl. 94. Right.
Nope.
There's no ABC, no Rio. There's bands who could push back and I could see it being like, hey, this doesn't feel right.
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
But I also don't know, like...
Can I say something, though?
Please.
Everyone that's winning is so unbelievably fucking likable.
Right.
Yeah.
Like back in the day, like everyone that popped like in other times, you'd be like, man, fuck that dude. Like someone had something to say.
It was inevitable, right? There was AN had their moment and there was somebody who was hating on it. The Locking Out on the game, and there were people. Right. That's right. Locking Out had their moment and there were people who were mad at it about immediately. Like every little sect had different things that got, you know, people started punching down as soon as they were big enough to.
Right. No one's going like, man, that guy Sammy or that dude, fuck, or whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, no one's mad at Brendan, you know, from Turnstile. No one's mad at fucking Isaac. No one's mad. Like, they're like, oh, yeah, you meet these dudes and they're all like hardcore kids that just like happen to win. Like, so no, there's no, like, you can't be that's the only people that are salty are like 40 year olds. Like, no one, younger people are not salty about any of the success.
Right. The younger people are just waiting for the old heads to die off. Like the, and I don't mean that the old heads who are active or interested or supporting, the dusty complainers. They're just waiting for the dusty complainers to go away. Well, I put it out to the audience a bit to see what they thought was contributing to making hardcore thrive, or if they dissented, what was not. So we could share some of that and kind of touch base on this. So I got some answers. I'd like to hear your thoughts on some of these. You ready?
Let's go.
Do you guys think that moshing videos spread by algorithms are helping hardcore be thrive?
Like Barstool Sports retweets or shit?
Apparently so, I guess. I guess that's what this person means.
Helps fill a room.
It does help fill. Okay, so yeah. What Tom is saying, without saying it, is that there's a lot of casuals at shows at the moment.
That's true. All right. Yeah, you actually told a little story about that, of a casual who, by all accounts, sounded like their experience to seeing one of the bands was quite new. So, okay. The fact that there's more inclusion, we are not hearing only white cis male opinions.
I mean, that's undeniable right now. Yeah.
And honestly, can I speak off the cuff?
Please.
Feels like it is normalizing that. Like that is becoming the expectation now, as opposed to this weird awkward place we were like 5 years ago,
yeah.
Where there was a burgeoning thing of that. And I don't want to say there was pushback. There was a lot of acceptance, but that was a new thing. And now it feels like it's not a brand new thing.
So, Bob, it wasn't pushback. It was a complete inability to frame in a normal way where people didn't embarrass themselves by being like the person that had to highlight how different a voice was for it to be valid.
That's right.
Do you know what I'm saying? That's like right. it was a very goofy moment where people that were well intentioned were still looking in some respects as bad as maybe the close-minded, because they did not know how to, the way that people use the term, they did not know how to center those voices.
Sure. A highlight to do that in a way that felt natural and organic, as opposed yeah. to just like, you must see this. And it's like, wait, that feels weird. And now those voices are prominent enough and integrated in a way that is really cool. I hope people are catching the energy with which I'm saying that. It's really cool. It's really cool that it doesn't feel like a put on when I see some of the ways people are putting out for that. And it's just cool. So shout out. I strongly agree. Younger bands and a ton of old heads being involved again. Is that helping hardcore thrive? Interesting purview, right? The blending of age groups. I think so.
Just use these drain shows as a reference. Some genuine old heads that aren't out. They're not vibing. They're not trying to vibe out anybody. It's been a nice thing to have, like, you know, some proper older crossover fans, some of whom, a couple 50-year-old dudes at a bunch of Northeast shows, which is not crazy for the Northeast, by the way, everybody.
No, but not at all.
But it is to see them stage diving along with a 20-year-old. It's cool. It's a good vibe.
The very next response, the younger bands and a ton of old heads being involved again. Young bands, young kids, and old heads staying out of the way.
I guess so.
Tom, where are you at on that?
What, young bands, like old heads staying out of the way?
Well, so we had two responses back to back.
Yeah.
Younger bands and a ton of old heads being involved again.
Yeah.
And then young bands, young kids, and old heads staying out of the way. I think... Where do you fall on that? It's more nuanced than those two things, I think.
I mean, I think there's room for both the old head and the young person. It's obviously a youth-driven scene.
Yeah.
But I think, like, there's room for, like, the old heads that are there for the right reasons.
So you nailed it right there, yeah.
I mean, honestly, you know what I mean? Like, sometimes you have to, like, shut the fuck up and, like, let the young people rock, you know, and, like, make sure that you're, you know, there's things to be said, like, you know, for older folks that have, like, have more experience and can kind of help guide certain things, or, like, you know, or I mean, it doesn't happen as much now, but, like, there were times that, like, the old band brought the crowd that the young bands were playing in front of.
Sure.
Which
sure.
helped them kind of grow the younger band. Like, that reunion boom, and I'm just thinking this off the top of my head, like, that reunion boom of that, whatever that time period was.
Yeah, somewhere 2010s or to 2016, it seems like every band got back together.
Right. Might have had a positive impact on what's happening right the fuck now.
Huh. Mm. Like, a long term.
Right. Like, all right, you know, I went to go see Judge, but then I saw so-and-so, I went to go see Indecision and I saw Incendiary. Incendiary used to play, we used to play together all the time.
Right.
Like that, I mean, it definitely opened fucking older people that may not have heard, I mean, they'd heard him now, but like when it was like first LP or like whatever, like,
yeah,
you know, or like think about like, oh, Backtrack playing with this band and this, like, I think you could probably, if you really thought about it, could find like a correlation between those shows where like it was the only thing that was drawing and keeping it going and putting, you know, these young bands on those, like, it does no good if it's like Judge and their, you know, four bands that they're all friends with and everyone's over 50. It doesn't help.
Right.
But when it's Judge and younger bands.
Sure. No.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, I think that kind of like that helped get those younger bands in front of people that would never have seen them otherwise. And I think that's a big part of it. And I think people like shit on it now, but I think that was like a huge part of like maintain, like hardcore maintaining and helping grow.
Oh, this is fascinating. I agree with you in a lot of ways, and I haven't thought about it in the way you positioned it. And I think you're nailing some points. And then I wonder about
just some.
So in one, no, like I no, because like there's things I agree everything you said, but then there's a few points where I'm like, okay, Judge was 100% bringing the older head, the older person who hadn't been to shows for a couple of years maybe, or found themselves, whether they were at shows or not, found themselves a bit disconnected and brought them back in, and maybe somebody found something. I'm using Judge just because they're an easy one.
Right. Or it could be fucking Four Punch, you know, with Bon Jovi.
Sure, it could be anyone, right, yeah.
Yeah, you know, like it could be anybody.
And then I think about the flip energy, because you mentioned like there was a time when older bands were taking younger bands on tour, and I mean, we're seeing that. We're seeing, it's funny, not older bands, current bands who are bigger taking out smaller current bands and really popping them off. But there was a time where an older band would not just be bringing out the veteran person to see the young new band, but also young people who were more exposed to those old bands because they were just omnipresent, right? You know,
yeah. Like, I mean, there was a time like opening for Sick of It All,
right,
was as fucking good as you can do for hardcore, or Hatebreed, or whatever.
You were getting in front of people who loved Sick of It All and always loved Sick of It All, but also kids who had just discovered hardcore through Sick of It All,
right, because or Hatebreed,
or Hatebreed, because the CD was in every store, so they got that and bop bop bop. It's interesting because I agree largely. I also think that reunion period might have opened it up to older folks who, older, whatever, people who were disconnected from hardcore and got pulled back in and got to see and reconnect and maybe experience some of those bands. The Indecision Incendiary example is a good one, because
I mean, they would have been popping whatever. Like
they would have been popping whatever. They definitely would have been. But I guarantee somebody
in front of people
who loved your band, who had been disconnected, went, oh shit, I gotta go, and maybe fell in love with Incendiary in a way that they put them right there next to
their brought them back. Decision.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So there is a way
that with Mind Force, mm-hmm. Dude, the amount of people that have come out of the woodwork for Mind Force that are like, oh, I haven't been a show in 10 years.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, but you know, if every band like that brings fucking 50 fucking barbers out of the woodwork.
Sure, no, yeah. I mean, well, right.
1,000 in Brooklyn, 1,000 people in Baltimore, and 1,000 people, you know what I mean? Then that's how this shit is happening.
Right.
Dude, fucking Brooklyn show was ridiculous. Like, you couldn't walk anywhere. There was like amazing. More than 1,000. I don't want to say because, you know, in case the fire department, you know, got some ears on this. But
they hit that fire code exactly on the note.
One less than the fire code. It was amazing. I don't know how they did it. Scanlon, you're a genius.
So to me, yeah, it is interesting. That's a further conversation, but I The other side is nobody wants, Patrick, you can get on this, nobody wants the older hardcore dude busting into a room like Captain America who just was thawed from the iceberg. You know what I mean? Like, nobody wants them busting in the room and be like, what's all this about? Oh, this isn't the way it used to be. Oh, no. And I think that is slowly, thankfully, being put out to pasture mostly. Is that accurate?
Yeah, in my experience. I mean, I'm a guy. Fuck, we're not doing a video one right now. I wish I could send you a photo of me wearing this fucking hat that I got. It looks like such, I'm so obviously aging and look like I put on this fucking stupid hat to go bartend in Brooklyn.
Is it like the five panel that you
I was gonna say
like, yo, you look pretty good with the fucking hat on. I didn't think you would. You look like a younger, like, hey, I just went for a run and then, hey, the show is happening, I'm gonna sing a couple of songs.
I think everybody has accurately assessed that I look like
hello young people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And in a way that is like very, very you know, like, Tom, you've seen a million of this in your life. Maybe hardcore dude that is now a hip hop blogger because he got to a certain age, you know. So that's my current look. I'm a hip hop blogger that also bartends three nights a week. So anyway,
please put that on your headstone. I'm a hip hop bartender three nights a week.
So back to what I'm seeing out here in these streets, I'm not seeing a bunch of old head, hey, this is how it used to be sort of way. But a thing that I'm kind of always on the lookout for is, does someone secretly mean that / think that, but feel like they can't say it because they have the good sense to know it's not the vibe right now?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? That's fucking fine. Keep your shit to yourself. I think there are those like old, cranky, dusty, like, I have an opinion and, you know, Turnstiles and hardcore. What the fuck is this? What is fucking drug church? You know, old drug church. The Dusties love the drug church.
I know.
But I'm saying, like, you know, people like that are like, what the fuck is this? It sounds like fucking 311. They exist, but they're all sequestered to a very small part of the internet.
Mm.
And it's like Facebook groups.
Oh, sure. Wow. Yeah,
like the 90s Facebook group is like where they're like, what the fuck is this? I used to listen to fucking Circle of Dead Children. I'm like, okay, cool, man. You know, but like, I think,
okay, grandpa, let's get you back to the,
yeah, let's get you to bed, man. Like, you know, but I think they do exist, but like they've been sequestered and their voices are so minimal at this point. That doesn't have any impact. Like, you know what I mean? Like, who the, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. You don't exist anymore.
I want better for them. I want better for their lives. Better ingredients.
They should go to this tour.
Better toppings. Better pizza. Hardcore 2020. Yeah, exactly. I'm looking through. Someone said the internet. The internet's been around for a long, long time now, though. So I'm not going to say that's helping it thrive. It is, but it's also been, you know, it's been around for too long to say that it's just the internet. Let me pitch this. Are people is hardcore using the internet better than it had previously? I don't think so. Asking questions out loud?
I think so. Only reason being because I think so many things have gotten memed.
Okay. Okay.
And have been able, like it's become content.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Hardcore has become, you know what I mean? So like young people, content. Like, oh, Jesus.
You know what I mean? I mean, to us, it sounds like what the fuck? It like clangs around in your ears, but like, yeah. You know,
like, that's enough. Somebody in the Facebook groups are cluing in on that. Oh, hardcore's just content now. Oh,
but I'm not saying it is, but I think they're able to use the internet because they're better at it. Yeah. You know, that like the Dare clip of the stage dives or the fucking, like, there's so much stuff that becomes like memed and goes viral that like a kid may not sit down and watch a half hour video of a set, but they see, you know, fucking Brody King like choke slamming someone off the stage, and they're like, that looks kind of awesome. I'd like to try that.
Yeah. Maybe not getting choke slammed by Brody, but something else.
I mean, the kid asked for it and he did, and everyone was fine. That was it, tied down.
Yeah. I don't, I'm not selling liability insurance to God's sake. I'll just say that.
Yeah. You know what I mean, though? I think they're able to kind of get these like 10 second, 30 second blurbs that like
the pop,
you know,
that are essentially,
hype videos.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Fucking great. And I think that's how the internet has kind of helped in a way. I mean, let's be
different than years past, right?
We're all 100 years old and I get it, but like I existed in a hardcore bands in the internet age. It wasn't like,
right. Exactly. Right.
You know, we didn't have everything that we had now, but like the internet existed in 1996. Like we all had, I mean, it was dial up and it was shit, correct, but we had it.
Yes.
But I think it wasn't ever like the change in like kind of social media and all the stuff in the last 10 years or so, 15 years, have made a huge difference. That like, you know, who, no one used the internet in 1998 to be like promote their band unless it was like on like those weird message, like, well, it might have been on Rev.
No, there was posts that were text based only, basically. I think I found a MIDI file of Start Today once. That was pretty exciting. You know, like, what are we talking about?
Is that the
about?
Mullet board?
No, that's way before that. This is MIDI 90s. File. MIDI files. Love a MIDI file. There's hardly any exciting guitar music being created outside hardcore punk metal. Oh, largely true, in my opinion.
Ask that again, or say that.
There's hardly any exciting guitar music being created outside hardcore punk and metal.
Some ignorance,
like, you know, but I try to pay attention to some other stuff, and there's not too much that's hitting my waves that I'm interested in. I'll say that.
So indie music really just lost me completely on one of their waves. I don't know how to describe this. The comeback of kind of slacker indie, it just completely pushed me away from the genre entirely. So that I am not currently up to date. Right. I'm sure that there's a lot of good stuff being made, but it's interesting. I'm sure this happens in hardcore all the time where some trend or wave is just so not what you're on that you kind of lose touch with the thing that you really like. And then certainly by the time that a trend that you could be fully on board with comes back, you're not plugged in enough to know.
No, you know what? And I'm going to pull back, actually. There's a bunch of kind of like, Tom, a lot of the indie stuff that you like, like soft.
Oh, sure.
Like, you know.
The Beths, Julian Baker.
Right, Boy right, right. And I think some of that's pretty good. Not all. Some I really lean into. And there's been a pop. There's been a post-punk, like bordering on new wave resurgence that is not all good. Most of it's not great, but there's been a few acts that have caught my attention that I've been interested in. So there is some interesting stuff happening outside of it. But so to ask this question, what's helping hardcore thrive? I don't think it's being helped thrive because there's hardly any. Well, maybe that shit's just not exciting. I mean, if you ask me, I can barely enjoy live music that isn't punk, hardcore, or metal because I've been spoiled by it. So exciting, yeah. There's nothing that can compare to hardcore or punk or metal in a live setting, or even exciting as music. Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I don't know that it means it's the only good stuff, but exciting, you know. This one's for you. Both of you seems to be getting back to songwriting and not just competing for heaviest riffs.
You know, I wish I could agree with that. Well, I agree with it.
It's
that
not we're competing for heaviest riffs right now.
That part I agree with. My big beef with a lot of new hardcore at
say
the moment
it, say
is
it.
No tracks.
We want the tracks, folks.
I want the tracks. This is not, hey, everybody, if you think I'm talking about you, I'm not necessarily. I don't know who the fuck you are. But a lot of stuff that I've listened to in the last year is great in so many ways. Talented people doing something that's cool, or passionate people doing something that's cool. Because let's be frank, you know, not it's easy to become a snob over years and years of listening to a thing, but you got to remember that some of my favorite bands are not good. You know, they're not excellent players. They just dialed into a real like a real chemistry amongst themselves and produce something remarkable.
Or creativity in the songwriting. Creativity and uniqueness doesn't mean necessarily
virtuosity of any type. Right. Yeah. So, but at this exact moment, I think there's a lot of bands struggling with what is a song, you know? And I think I've thought about this a lot, and I don't know what the conclusion is. I think possibly some of these people are coming from genres of music or styles that don't prioritize traditional songwriting or at all. Right. So like, let's say that you are, everything has an influence, right? Everything that you absorb as a young person is going to be regurgitated 10 years later when you're at a position to create something that can be yours, right? So let's say that you imprinted on Code Orange, right? Now, very, very possible, right? Because Code Orange, when did
I think totally possible. I mean, 2013 to 2016 range, that's very possible.
Okay. So yeah, I Am King comes out, makes a deep impression on a lot of people. Code Orange is very good at that type of heavy music, very good at it. But the criticism that a lot of people had of Code Orange is that their transitions didn't make sense to a lot of people's ears. And I'm Mr. Transition. I like a transition that makes sense. And Code Orange got by for me because when they would hit a riff that was excellent, it really was excellent, and it would stick, right? But let's say that you imprinted on that style of music, whether it be Code Orange, whoever. It really doesn't matter. It's just to say that there is a genre of music, or you could go 10 years earlier than that and go to, I don't know, fucking Fall of Troy or something, right? Like just something that is a thing that you would have been exposed to as a young person in a moment, et cetera. Well, right. If they don't teach you, if that stuff imprinted on you and it transitions are not a strong point, then maybe when the time comes, you're not doing music with strong transitions yourself, right? I think that there's a lot of people right now, a lot of bands right now, who are writing actually pretty good riffs and doing some good vocal stuff that I would never think of. And some of them are doing it way better than I could if I tried. But the songs are just not there for me. And I know that I said in a group chat what the worst thing I heard in 10 years is. I won't say it on this podcast ever because I wish these people luck, even as I don't enjoy their record. But I was fucking gobsmacked by that shit. It slapped me in the face like a fucking wet towel. It woke me up. I said, holy shit, nobody in this band can write a fucking song with a gun pressed to the side of their head. Now,
right.
that's an extreme example, but there's just a lot of people are struggling with song at this time. So yeah, I don't think they're competing for heaviest, but they're also not entering a songwriting competition.
There's stuff I would like more tracks. I'd like more tracks. We need tracks. But the ones who are doing it well. And I think there's a lot of people who are getting different angles of it. And regardless of your preferred style, I do think that there's someone doing it mostly good right now. Tom, are there tracks right now?
Yeah, not as many as I would like. Pat's probably not wrong.
But it's trying to say it in a nicer way. Yeah, I know. Tracks are not easy.
Tracks are not easy. You know what I mean? To come up with an LP's worth of tracks, kind of tough. Coming up with a 7-inch worth of tracks can be tough sometimes.
Dude.
Absolutely.
So I was thinking about this. I don't think I said it on this podcast. The Smiths, Louder Than Bombs, their single collection, right?
Right. That's right.
Like compilation kind of thing, right? That was my introduction to the band. It's almost flawless. Like there might be a track or two I'd be like, yeah, you can bite that one. But it's incredible. But then when I actually listen to the studio albums, there's a bunch of stuff that I like that I hadn't found on those singles. But if you said, hey, you can only keep one release, it's Louder Than Bombs, no question. It's just what I'm taking. I'm going to lose some of my favorite songs. I lose Unhappy Birthday. I lose Rush and a Push. I lose Hand in Glove. I lose songs that I love. But the Smiths, this borderline undeniable, qualitatively good band, not all their LPs were tracks. You know what I mean? Like they had tracks on there, but not every single one. So don't feel bad if you only got a couple songs. And maybe this is the call for the return to some good singles here and there. And don't get stuck thinking you have to write whatever it is you have to write next. You can just put out some good songs. You got three good songs, get those out. Make it work.
Please.
I'm going to kind of scroll through a couple here quick. Is hardcore thriving because smaller bands are able to tour?
That's interesting.
I think that's a chicken or the egg.
Yeah, I mean, are small bands touring because it's hardcore thriving? Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And hardcore might be thriving more because those bands are able to tour. So shout out to that. Is hardcore thriving because of the new metal audience crossover?
I don't know.
here's the thing. New metal crossover has been happening for a decade now. Easy, right? Like there were kids wearing Slipknot shirts at shows 10 years ago. Not new. Not saying no. Would love for somebody to extrapolate on that a little more, but I don't think it's new. Not Twitter, LOL. Yeah, not Twitter. That's right. Hardcore is thriving due to bands saying yes to new opportunities. Why not?
Not a bad take.
Yeah, I don't think
it's a bad take. I'd be curious. Like, Military Gun doing that run with like Limp Bizkit or Scowl or whomever.
Who did that? Yeah, right.
Right. Dying Wish did some.
Yeah.
I would be curious, like, if there was any way to measure, like, did it make any difference? Like, it was awesome to be able to say you played with Limp Bizkit, you played these insane fucking venues, you got to play the Garden, wherever else. But did it make it any demonstrable? Like, cause I feel like, you know, like a big punk tour would probably gain you as many fans as playing in front of, you know, 12,000 Limp Bizkit fans.
Mm.
Oh, I don't know.
I think that's an interesting question. PK.
Drug Church currently talking about this because I think I mentioned to you fellas, there's quite a big band that we just have a rare line to.
Yeah.
We don't
know. Coldplay.
Have.
We know. Chris Coldplay. Martin, huge fan, big churchman.
You know, you never know if somebody has ever even heard you. So the fact that we have a line to this band that, is going to be doing something big my bandmates would like to know that this band is aware of us at least, and perhaps would consider us for a slot, whatever.
It was all yellow.
We talked about it today.
Pat is opening the Oasis reunion tour. You've heard it here first.
Oh, yeah. I'm such a big fan.
Cast no shadow.
Yeah, let's go.
We got to talk about Haley Williams telling us not to vote for DeSantis. So
Patreon.com/whatever our thing is. Go.
Holy shit. Tom and I are going to, it's going to be a gang war. Where was I at?
Considering new metal bands, are you getting more fans? By
I think Tom asked, does it do more?
Yeah.
Versus
just doing the small punk band tour, you know?
I mean, in terms of gaining new actual fans, there's no comparison doing, look,
I'm not even saying a small punk tour, like, you know,
let me say this.
Chats, you're going better off going out with like fucking Five Finger Death Punch. I'd say you better, probably better off going out with the Chats.
I'll say this. I would have, while I don't get involved in the conversation on what kind of music Drug Church is, I'm comfortable with whatever somebody arrives at. I thought that at this point, every
artist.
I thought, well,
you know, look, I just put it out there and whatever.
It's not that. It's just, whatever. It's a self-aggrandizing conversation. So I don't want to have it. But
Adult pop punk. Let's go.
Adult pop punk. So if I'm playing adult diaper pop punk, my thing is,
change the Wikipedia. Someone.
I would have thought that every hardcore kid in North America is not a fan of my band, but would be,
cognizant of it.
Yeah. Know the name. Right. Yeah. And on this Drain tour, finding out otherwise, like we are playing in front of a new human being that I can look, when I look in their eye, I can see there is no look of recognition in this fucker's face at all.
Yo, how good is that? That's such a good feeling on a tour like this. Oh, that's
awesome. It's the best.
It's all you could ask for. Oh my God.
Exactly right.
Two more and then we'll switch over here. The baseline quality of bands is seemingly higher. I think yes. I think yes. I'm waiting for more tracks, but I think the baseline, the Mendoza line has been pushed up.
Yeah, it's over. It's like 225 now.
Right. Yeah. I think it's up. I think we're stocks are trading higher than they were 2-3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, for sure. In my book, we're seeing a nicer baseline.
I mean, as it should be.
Yeah. Oh, you hope. But I think it's fair for us to acknowledge that we've seen some regressions in times, and some fallow times. So it's okay to acknowledge when it seems like the market is doing better inequality wise, that there's just the average, the baseline is just better. I appreciate that. The hardcore adjacent bands are so good that more people are finding a gateway like me. Yo, love this take. Wow. Because I also think what this person might not be acknowledging here, and that we don't really acknowledge that often, there's the idea of what like an adjacent to hardcore band. There's been this over the years for quite a while. But over the past few years, they've been better. Both in a way that hardcore kids are more interested and people who aren't into hardcore are interested and are using this as a gateway. This might be the low-key, like, why has hardcore been having a moment? Why has hardcore been getting media features? Why is this something that's like, oh, hardcore is kind of cool right now? This is why. Thoughts, feelings?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think it's this and the diversity of people in bands.
Yes.
Correct. Are the reasons why we've gotten, you know, like the New York Times is not writing about like whoever, fucking Kill Your Idols.
Sure.
Or something, you know what I mean? Like a great hardcore band. Nobody was talking about any bands in the back then. If someone like got mentioned in like Rolling Stone once, it was like, holy shit, you better cut that out for your mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
PK,
but I think, yeah, these bands have gotten so fucking good.
Yeah.
That it draws people in.
Yeah. Like I think that very indie folks could listen to Fiddlehead and go, oh, this is cool. I think that I think an Imagine Dragons fan could listen to Drug Church and think, wow, this is cool.
Thank you so
much. I wish this guy worked out like the guy from Imagine Dragons, but still.
I know. But no, I mean, I really mean that is that there's a quality both on how it sounds, the the holistic feel of it, like the this isn't too rough to my ears style, that all leads to this access point to a world of music that many people were unfamiliar with. Turnstile, same thing. Like Turnstile. Listen to the difference. The sonic differences between Glow On and Time and Space are not massive until you hear some of the slight production tweaks. Really, give a couple of those songs headphones listens, and you can just hear like, oh, that is a bigger room sound. Oh, that is a choice to have a more pop accessible sound. More mainstream accessible sound. And that's not, I'm not negating that. I think Glow On's a great record, but you can hear those choices being made that opens a door for a lot of people to walk through. Pat, you had something?
Yeah, the adjacent stuff is written about nonstop, and it's always written about, as we've kind of maybe shitted on a little bit, it's always written about within the context of hardcore. And I do not know if that's necessarily accurate. Yeah. But it is doubtlessly helpful. I'm kind of curious, does it blow up in our face a tiny bit? You know, maybe people have not unrealistic, perhaps, but maybe incorrect expectations of hardcore. That's possible.
That's an interesting, you know? That's an interesting pullback. Let's wrap up on this last one. I want both of your very strong convictions here. Hardcore is thriving because of enthusiasm, camaraderie, good bands, good shows, Taco Bell.
Motherfuck Taco Bell. Yeah. Unless they want to sponsor us and give us vegan, those vegan things. I don't know if there's camaraderie. I mean, I guess there is some. But the rest I agree with.
Yeah, just take knock Taco Bell off it.